you take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 36 through 50 this morning, and a familiar, perhaps, story to us, one that we have surely heard at some point in time. Luke 7, verse 36 through 50. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. And now when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." And there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other owed 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those two R's there, "your sins are forgiven," in 47 and 48, have the idea of "have been." And that'll be important in a little bit. Verse 49, "And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, 'Who is this one who even forgives sin?' And he said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" This passage of Scripture gives to us one of the greatest love events in all of the New Testament. And I want to paint a picture before your eyes if you'll listen with your ears. And the first thing that I want you to see from this passage of Scripture is the personalities that are involved here. There are four people, groups, that are mentioned here. First is Jesus himself. Jesus, the Son of God, there's nobody like him. When he walks into a room, the room becomes the Holy of Holies. When he walks into a room, God has arrived. Jesus is there. And then we have a man named Simon, who is identified by that little phrase, Pharisee. Pharisees were holier-than-thou kind of people. We don't talk to those who are openly immoral. We only associate with those who are morally upright, those who are spiritually sophisticated like us, a Pharisee. And then the very title speaks of arrogance and self-righteousness and everything that God hates. Simon was there. It was his house. And then there's a woman, and she's identified as a sinner. More than once, she's called that, a sinner. And the way that this word sinner is used in this construction leaves no doubt of what her sin was. If he was a prophet, he would have known who she was. If he was a prophet, she would have known what she was. She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. She was a sinner. And she's there. And then there were some other guests, probably more Pharisees, but they were folks who had been invited by Simon to come to the dinner party. And so those are the personalities of the story. But I also want you to see something about the plot of this story. First of all, there's an invitation that was given to Jesus by Simon. Simon invites Jesus to come to his house for supper. He invited Jesus into his house. Why? To watch him. To see if he could find something whereby to condemn Jesus with. Now, Brother Shane, if Jesus knew that this man was inviting him into his house to find something out about him to condemn him for, then why would Jesus ever agree to go to this man's house? Well, Jesus loved this Pharisee as much as he loved you and me. And Jesus will go anywhere if he's invited if he thinks that there might be someone there who will open their heart and receive him as Savior and Lord. That's why Jesus went. He loved him. He didn't go because he felt it was an honor to be invited to the house of the Pharisee. He didn't go to speak to the big wigs of the city. He went because he loved that Pharisee. But not only do we see this invitation, we also see an intrusion. An intrusion. This woman comes into the house and she had not been invited. And I'll tell you for sure, Simon would have never invited her. She was a harlot. And he was a smug, self-righteous, hyper-religious, morally inoculated man who would have looked down his nose in disdain at her in the street and would have never invited her to his house. Not her. And so she comes in uninvited, and as was the custom in those Eastern homes, they would be either eating in a reclining position or sitting on the floor with the feet behind them. And this woman comes in and she begins to do some things there at the feet of Jesus. Now understand that I do not believe that this is the first time that this woman ever encountered Jesus, because this passage of Scripture makes absolutely no sense if this is the first time. Because you see, lost people do not come to the feet of Jesus on their own. Lost people do not come to the feet of Jesus and bathe his feet with their tears and anoint his feet with perfume. This is not the first time this woman had an encounter with Jesus. There in verse 35, Luke chapter 7, verse 35. We looked at that last week, but it says, "But wisdom is justified of all of her children." All right, that we looked at that last week, but I read it for you again so you can look at something over in Matthew chapter 11. Turn back to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 19, and we're going to look at some verses following. Matthew 11, verse 19. The last part of that verse says, "But wisdom is justified of her children." Now in Luke's gospel, verse 35 says the same thing, but it immediately goes into this passage of Scripture about the Pharisee. But Matthew informs us that there was something that took place before the Pharisee's house. In Matthew 11, verse 20, after Jesus has made the statement, "But wisdom is justified of her children," he continues speaking and he pronounces woe on the people. And he tells them that judgment is coming. And with all of my heart, I believe standing there listening to Jesus was this woman. Just listening to him pronounce woe upon those who don't repent. Pronouncing a day of judgment that is coming. And here's this woman that is standing there. And she's standing there in all of her sin. And she hears the Son of God talk about judgment and talk about repentance and talk about hell. And in her mind, she said, "I don't understand that. I'm not an educated woman. I'm not a religious woman. I'm not like all these other dignitaries. I'm just a harlot. I could never understand what Jesus is saying." But in verse 25 of Matthew 11, Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seems good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, and I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I believe with all of my heart that that woman was standing there and she heard Jesus say that. And as the shadows begin to fall, she goes home and she begins to prepare for a night's work of selling her body on the street. And I see her, she looks at herself and she says, "I'm so dirty. I'm so unclean. I'm so filthy." And she reaches to get that bottle of perfume that she would always sprinkle on herself so that the aroma of her body would attract the attention of men. But as she reached for that bottle of fragrant oil, she says, "I'm so dirty. I'm so dirty. But today I heard a man who say, 'Come to me, trust me, believe in me, and I will give you rest.'" And I see this little woman with the attire of a harlot and the bottle of perfume in her hand sink to her knees and cry out, "God, I'm so filthy. God, I'm so dirty. I'm so unclean. But I heard a man say today that if I trust in him, you'd save me and you'd cleanse me and you'd wash me from the inside out. God, please forgive me and save me by your grace and mercy." And instantaneously, that woman was born again. Her sin was lifted, and she stood up a brand new child of God. She went to her knees a child of hell, but she stood up a child of heaven. Thank God for the power of the gospel. And then she says, "I've got to go find that man." And she runs out of the house, still with that perfume bottle, still in her hand, not even perhaps knowing that she has it, because that's part of her old life. That was her old profession. But she runs through the streets to find him. And she sees him go into a house. She'd never been in that house. The man who lived there would never have anything like her in that house. This was the house of Simon the Pharisee. This was the house of the self-righteous. This was the house of the dotted I's and the crossed T's of morality. This was the house of nobility and respect and religion. Nobody would have ever like her would have been in that house. But you see, this woman had been born again now. And let me tell you something. New birth gives you a brand new courage. Sometimes folks will say to me, "You know, preacher, I've been saved, but I've never made it public. Preacher, I want you to know I've been saved, but I never walked the aisle. I never made it public. I've never been baptized. I'm just too timid." Listen, the new birth gives you courage. If this woman could walk into a house of a Pharisee, you can walk down the aisle in front of a bunch of saved Baptists and say, "Jesus has changed my life." And so she goes in. And I guarantee you, when she walks in, Simon sees her. What is she doing here? How dare her come into my house? What is she doing? Everybody here knows her. Everybody here knows who she is. How dare her come into my house? And friend, listen to me. And I don't want to make anybody mad or upset with me. Like I said last week, I left the car running. But I'm telling you today, there are churches all across America who are saying the same thing. Why is she here? Don't the preacher know who she is? Folks, there's a lot of people out in the shadows of this church and shadows of churches all across America that we ought to be on our knees praying that God would bring in here, because they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so she comes in and she kneels at the feet of Jesus. And she's going to pour that perfume on his feet. And I think there's two reasons for that. Number one, I think just because she loved him. But the second reason I think that she poured out that perfume on his feet was that she was saying, "I'm pouring out my old life. I don't need this stuff anymore. Jesus, you're the only man I want in my heart." It's a picture of her pouring out the old. It's a picture of love. That's what she went there to do. And as she knelt at his feet, her heart became so full of what had happened to her just a while back that when she knelt there, an old hell-bound, lost, dirty sinner, and asked God to forgive her of her sin and put her trust in the man that said, "Come to me and I will give you rest." And when she saw his feet, she became so full of love. And folks, I want to tell you something. I feel sorry for folks who have never gotten that full in the presence of Jesus. We live in such an anti-emotional day. Or Brother Shane, we're dignified with our religion. Well, maybe we need to go back and remember just what it is that Jesus did for us. Man, we were old, lost, hell-bound sinners. And Jesus forgave us, died for us on the cross. And we ought to be full of love for Him and full of love for each other and full of love for those around us. This woman kneels at the feet of Jesus and tears begin to flow. And I mean, they begin to flow like a spigot, falling all over his feet, and she reaches, and her hair would have been bound up because no woman of that culture would ever wear her hair down. And she unbinds her hair, and she lets her hair down, and she begins to dry his feet of all those tears. All the while, she's just kissing him on the feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. And he brought her the best news that she had ever heard. And she just kissed his feet. And then she broke open that bottle of perfume and the aroma filled the room as she poured it on his feet. And Simon's sitting there watching all this. And he comes to a conclusion. As a matter of fact, he comes to two conclusions. The first conclusion he comes to is that this woman is nothing but a worthless prostitute. That she's just a sinner. And she is an embarrassment to come and be in my house. That's the first conclusion. And the second conclusion was that Jesus must be nothing. He's not even a prophet. Because if he was a prophet, he would have known who and what this woman was. He's no prophet. And that's why he had invited Jesus to come into his house to find something out that he could use to condemn him. And now he had it. Well, this man let a harlot touch his feet. And that brings me to the third thing. We see the personalities, we see the plot, but now we see a parable. Jesus says, now Simon hadn't said this out loud, but Jesus knew what Simon was thinking. And he says, "Simon, I have something I want to say to you." And Simon, in a facetious manner, said, "Well, Master, you just go home and say it." And Jesus said, "You know, there was a man who had two people that were indebted to him. He had given these two people money, and one of them, he had worked 50 days and had taken every penny he made just to repay this man, and the other man would have had to have worked 500 days, almost 2 years, counting the Sabbath, to repay this man what he owed him. And the man saw that neither of those two, the one who owed 50 days of work, and the one who owed 500 days of work, neither of them had anything to repay him with. And so the man said, I just forgive you both of your debt. Neither one of you had to pay me anything. It's canceled. It's gone. Go on about your business. Have a good life. I forgive the debt." Now, Simon, which one of these two fellows do you think would love that man who forgave? The one who only forgave 50 days' wages or the one who forgave 500 days. And Simon said, "Well, I suppose the one who was forgiven the greatest debt would love the one who forgave the most." And Jesus said, "You're right. But Simon, you've invited me to come to supper. And I came." And in this Eastern culture, it is customary when a guest comes to supper that the host brings water and washes his feet. "You didn't wash my feet." It is customary when somebody comes as a guest into your house that you kiss them on the cheek. You, You didn't kiss me on the cheek. It's the customary to bring some oil out so that I can put some in my hair to try to get some of the dirt out. You didn't bring me any oil. No water, no kiss, no oil, but this woman. Simon, this woman. Do you see her, Simon? Yeah, I see her. No, you don't see her. You only see her how she used to be. You can't see her now because you're blind. If you could see her with the eyes that I see her, you could see that this woman is white as snow. You see, Simon, this woman is not the 500 denarii sinner. You are. You are. All this woman did was, in the prostituting of her body, was never as offensive to God as your smug, self-righteous, moralistic attitude, thinking God owes you something. See this woman? You didn't bring any water for my feet, but she's bathed my feet with tears. Simon, you didn't kiss me on the cheek, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet. Simon, you didn't bring any cheap oil for my hair, but she brought the most expensive perfume and poured it out of my feet. And Simon, do you know why she has done what she's done? Because she loves me. And do you know why you have done what you've done? Because you care nothing for me. And he turns to that woman in reaffirmation. And he says, oh yes, your sins are forgiven. And that brings me to the last thing. We see the personalities, the plot, the parable, but notice the perplexity there in verse 49. Verse 49 says, and they sat at the table. Now, who are the they? It's all these other folks. All the rest of them, most of them probably Pharisees. And they sat at the table, and they begin to say within themselves, who is this? Who is this man who claims to be able to forgive sins? And Jesus answered them by speaking to the woman. And he says, your faith has saved you. Who is this? This is the Savior. My faith has saved me. And then he says, go in peace. Who is this? This is the peace giver. The one who forgives sin is the Savior and the peace giver. That's who he is. And I wish that I would read in here that the Pharisee fell on his face and repented. Maybe he did. I don't know. It's not recorded here. I hope to see him in heaven one day, but I may not. I look forward to seeing this little woman there. I don't know who she is. Some have tried to make her Mary of Bethany in Mark 14, but I don't believe it's her. Here's some little unnamed woman. Nothing but a blip on the radar screen. As far as the world is concerned, she is totally insignificant. But she's precious in the sight of God. And Jesus wraps his arms around her, and he saves her by his grace. Folks, I hope and I pray that we're never like Simon. That we get so caught up in the trappings of religion and everything else that we would ever dare look at somebody who Jesus loves and died for and say they are nothing. Why are they here? Don't you know who she is? Now I want to tell you that I observe here that Jesus notices things. Jesus noticed the affection of the woman. She has washed my feet with tears. She has repeatedly kissed my feet. She has anointed my feet with fragrant perfume. Jesus noticed the affection of this woman, and Jesus still notices our affection toward Him, and He's pleased by that. But listen, Jesus also noticed the neglect by the Pharisee. Simon, you didn't wash my feet. Simon, you gave me no kiss. Simon, you did not anoint my head. He noticed the neglect. And folks, I want to tell you something. Jesus still notices the affection. And we want Him to see the affection, but I'm telling you, He also notices the neglect. He notices when we neglect to give Him everything we ought to. He notices the neglect when we don't witness for Him like we should, whenever we don't read our Bible like we should, whenever we don't come to church like we should, when we don't do those things. He notices that neglect. You see, she did all of those things because she loved Him. And Simon didn't do any of those things because he didn't care for Him. He notices the affection, but he also notices the neglect. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Folks, let me tell you something. All of us in this room who have experienced the forgiveness of God, every one of us are those 500 denarii sinners. And we've been forgiven much. And we ought to love much. Father, I've done my best to declare these truths. And Lord, there may be some in this house today who've never been saved, and I pray that today Jesus would become real in their life, that they would see maybe the alabaster boxes of perfume in their life, all the tools that manipulate them and offer them prosperity and yet give them nothing. And I pray that they would just come to Jesus and be saved. Lord, maybe there's some of us here this morning that just need to reaffirm our love to You. Make that reaffirmation of our attention to You. You notice the affection, but You also notice the neglect. And Lord, if there's been any area in our life where we've been neglecting You, Lord, just let us confess that and get rid of it. Lord, help us to love others as You have loved us. Help us to not be like Simon the Pharisee and say, "How dare this person come into my house? Don't You know what she is? She's a sinner." Well, thank God You knew I was a sinner and You still died for me. So God, just help us to love You and love others today. Lord, maybe there's some here who need a church home. I pray that they would come and move their fellowship. God, whatever it may be, but God, I pray that You help us to love You much because we've been forgiven much. Lord, this is Your time. May Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.